So a few words of introduction before we study Pachad Yitzchak, Maimer Chaf Ches. We've been learning the Pachad Yitzchak for Rosh Hashanah with regard to Shofar. And we've come to some pretty new revolutions about the depth and the meaning of Shofar. So continuing in that vein, I would like to study Maimer Chaf Ches, which begins with a pasuk in Tehillim that we're quite familiar with. We read this pasuk before we blow the shofar. In Kapitel Peites, it says, Ashrei ha'am yodei srua Hashem bi'or panecho yahalechu. And this pasuk praises the people of Israel, that nation that knows how to blow a trua. And the Medrash Rabbah in Vayikra, in Parshas Emor, on the mitzvah of Shofar, makes the following comment. Yodim lefatos es borim betruah. The greatness of the nation of Israel, and I'm going to translate this literally right now, is they know how to seduce the Creator by blowing a truah. Which means that through the Shofar, what do they impact? What is the power of the Shofar? God stands up from the Kisei Adin and he sits on the Kisei Arachim. And if you listen carefully to what the Chachamim are saying, we're not talking about a different statement which applies the whole year round. This is the famous Mechilta in Shmos, that Kocham Shal Tzadikim Lafok Es Hayamin L'Smol Es Hasmol L'Yamin, which means that the Tzadikim have the power to change the Midas Arachamim, to change the Midas Adin to Midas Arachamim. Here the emphasis is on the Kisei Adin and the Kisei Arachamim. Not the Midas Adin and the Midas Arachamim, but the Kisei, the Divine Throne. And apparently, there's something very unique about the power of the Shofar, the impact of the Shofar, that it's able to change the entire Seder of Malchus here, that, you know, when Hashem sits on a kisei, that's the way he rules in his sovereignty over the universe, over mankind. And to change the malchus of Hashem from the malchus of din to the malchus of rachamim, that's an amazing achievement. And how does it happen? Because of the blowing of the shofar. So we'd like to understand, what is unique about the shofar that is capable of impacting to such an extent that the melech, the king, gets up from the throne of din and sits on the throne of rachamim? That's question number one, and that's the end of Os Aleph. Now we get to Os Beis. If you look carefully in the parsha of the Moadim, you'll see that the Torah defines every single Moed as Mikra Kodesh. That's the terminology that's used. However, if you look in the Mishnah, in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, and this is in the fourth parak of Rosh Hashanah, the Mishnah speaks about Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah. That's the phrase in the Mishnah. We don't find Yontif Shal Sukkis, Yontif Shal Shavuos, Yontif Shal Yom Kippur. We only find in the Mishnah Yontif Shal Rosh Hashanah. And in the constellation or the family of Mikroi Kodesh, that's Rosh Hashanah is unique. There's no other member of that family that's called Yontif Shal. And in order to understand this strange kind of language, Yontif Shel Rosh Hashanah, we're going to study a short paragraph of the Maharal Prague in his book Tiferes Yisrael. And I'd like you to see it inside here. The Maharal says, Ki hayom hazeh shel echad v'tishrei, this day, the first of Tishrei, Hu Yom Hadin Mitzad Atzma. In and of itself, the essence of the day, it's a day of judgment. Ella, Shemipas Heyoso Yom Hadin, lo hayubo inyan hamikra kodesh. You know, in every other yontif, says the Maral, you look at the essence of the day and you understand why it's mikra kodesh. For example, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Correct? That's the essence of the day of Pesach. And that's why Pesach is called Mikra Kodesh. Hashem protected us in the Sukkah, and that's called the holiday of Sukkot. But here in this case, the essence of the day is a day of Yom HaDin. And the Mikra Kodesh is not related to the Yom HaDin, because the Yom HaDin is not even mentioned here in the context of Mikra Kodesh. In all other holidays, the Torah mentions Mikra Kodesh, the sanctity of the day, in connection with the nature of the day, the historical experience in Jewish history of that day, and what took place on that day, what is the nature of the day. The only exception to that rule is Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah essentially is a day of judgment, and the Torah doesn't even mention that. And Mikra Kodesh, therefore, must be related to something other than the fact that it's Yom HaDin. And this is what the Maral wants to resolve, this very perplexing problem. If Mikra Kodesh is not because of Yom HaDin, so what engenders Mikra Kodesh?
The word Mikra is
literally to call it a sanctified day, right? Like, for example, you know that in the Moedim, the Beis Din has to declare the day is sanctified. That's the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh.
Yeah, is there anything to do with it being a day on week or else we're being correct?
Say one more time.
Is it anything to do with it being these are all days when we call out, we're all correct?
Not all of them. Well, I would say that Beis Din represents all of us. You know, Beis Din is actually the conduit
calling out
that this day is the day that's sanctified.
Right.
So the Torah commands us with regard to every single yontif, Mikra Kodesh. Mm. Pronounce it, declare it as Kodesh. And it's always clear in the context of all the holidays why it deserves to be Mikra Kodesh. Why is this day singled out as Mikra Kodesh? And the Torah will describe what happened on that day. But with regard to Aleph Tishrei, the Torah calls it Mikra Kodesh without telling you what happened on the day. Now we know the essence of the day is that it's Yom HaDin. But apparently, Yom HaDin is not the reason why it's Mikra Kodesh. There's got to be some other reason. What engenders the Mikra Kodesh dimension of Rosh Hashanah? And that's why the Mishnah uses the term Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah. Because the Mishnah wants to emphasize that we're talking about a different aspect of Rosh Hashanah. Not the Yom HaDin aspect, but the Yontif aspect. What makes Rosh Hashanah Aleph Tishrei into a yontif? It's not the din. So there, you know, we have to make this fundamental division or distinction between what the day is, you know, the endowment, the personality of the day as a day of judgment, and the fact that it's a yontif, that it's Mikra Kodesh. So the Maral has a chiddush here, and he wants to tell us why is it called a yontif? What makes Rosh Hashanah into a yontif? He says, because Zocher Oso HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because God remembers us. And now he quotes the Yerushalmi, V'chol Zikaron Hu L'tova. Whenever Hashem remembers us, it's for good. It's for our benefit. It's to bequeath and to give something benevolent to us. Hare. Okay, so that's what the Maral Miprag says. So what is the yontif aspect of Rosh Hashanah? It's engendered by the Zikaron, which is identified as Zikaron L'tova. The reason for the happiness of this joyous day as a celebration is because of the Zikaron L'tova. Again, if you want to ask me about the essence of the day is the day of judgment. But in addition to being a day of judgment, it's Mikra Kodesh insofar as it's a day of Zikaron. Because it's Zikaron L'tova.
Doesn't it say Yom Tov in one place and Yom Zikaron in the other?
Right, so he's focused now on the place in the Torah which says Zikron Trua, which means that this day, through the shofar, is a day of Zikaron, and Zikaron means L'tova. So it's a wild concept here. Hashem is sitting on the throne of justice. he's judging us, and we have a lot of Rachmana Litzlan iniquities and failures, but nevertheless, it's a day of Zikaron. The source of joy and the source of Yontif on Rosh Hashanah is the fact that it's a day of Zikaron. And Zikaron means Litova. And you remember in the first pack we said that the shofar has a pituri. It sort of seduces Hashem to leave, to evacuate the Kisei Hadin and sit instead on the Kisei Harachamim. How is that achieved through the shofar? And the answer is because the day of Rosh Hashanah is not just the Yom HaDin, but moreover, and perhaps more fundamental, it's a Yom HaZikaron. And the element of Yom HaZikaron, which is triggered off by the shofar, forces, so to speak, Hashem to leave the Kisei HaDin and instead to occupy the Kisei HaRachamim.
Does the Yerushalmi start with Kevan Sheba Yom HaDin?
No, the Yerushalmi is just these words, Kol Zikaron Hu L'Tov, if you want to underline those words. Those are the words of the Yerushalmi.
The line before is the Maharal.
Right. And the Maharal is saying that what makes this day Mikrei Kodesh, it's the fact that it's a Yom HaZikaron and Kol Zikaron Hu L'Tov. So it's only because of the Yom HaZikaron element that the first day of Tishrei becomes Mikrei Kodesh, becomes a Yontif. That's why the Tana, when he wants to emphasize the Yontif aspect of Rosh Hashanah, instead of the Din aspect, the pure judgment of Midas HaDin, he calls it Yontov Shal Rosh Hashanah. Meaning on this day of Rosh Hashanah, it takes on a very specific image, and it will only become a Yontif because of that image of Zikara. If it was purely Din, if it was just the day of judgment, then it would not be called a Yontif. We call it a Yontif only because of the Zikaron element. And that's what it means, Yontif Shal Rosh Hashanah. Yontif Shal Rosh Hashanah means we're pinpointing and focusing on the Zikaron element of Rosh Hashanah. That's the Yontif of Rosh Hashanah. And if you take a look in Os Gimel, he says that the Ramban, in his commentary to Parshas Emor, seems to be saying what the Maharal said. I mean, again, we would never understand this as the Ramban without knowing the Maharal. But Baruch Hashem, we know the Maharal, and that's going to shed a light on the Ramban. The Ramban says the following: V'lo pireish hakosuv tam hamitzvah zos loma hatrua. The Torah says that the day of Rosh Hashanah is the day of Zichron Trua, but the Torah doesn't tell us why. Loma nitztarech Zichron lifnei Hashem biyom hazeh yoser mi b'shar yomim. Why is it that we don't find that any yontif other than Aleph Tishrei, that there is an element of Zikaron that Hashem should remember us? Says the Ramban, Nirmaz b'kosev ha'inyan kasher noda b'Yisrael. He says that the need for Zikaron on this day is something that the Torah doesn't spell out. It's only a remez. And it's noda b'Yisrael. It's well known to the people of Israel. The Ramban himself is not going to even spell it out for us. What is the Ramban saying here? Why do we need Zikaron? It's only passed on through the Nevi'im and through Avos Kedoshim. And the Ramban himself is not really revealing much. He's just telling you that we all know about the nature of this day and why this day needs a Zikaron through the Nevi'im and the Avos Kedoshim. What is it that we know from the Nevi'im and the Avos Kedoshim about the essence of the day? And the answer is that it's a Yom HaDin. Nowhere in the Torah does the Torah tell us explicitly, reveal the secret, that Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin. All the Torah says is that it's Aleph Tishrei and it's Mikrei Kodesh. Why is it a Yom HaDin? I'm sorry, why is it a unique day? Because it's a Yom HaDin. Why do we need Zikaron? Because call Zikaron L'tovah. If we don't have a Zikaron, we're in deep trouble. Because then it's pure Midas HaDin. How do we effectuate the Zikaron? Through the shofar. That's Ashrei Ha'am Yodei Trua. And therefore, he says we can answer another question. He says that this principle of the Ramban, this insight of the Ramban, that first and foremost, Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin, and then it becomes Mikrei Kodesh only because of Zikaron, because Kol Zikaron L'Tova, this will answer another question, and that's in number Dal. When you look at the Psukim, you'll find something unique in Rosh Hashanah that doesn't appear in any other case of a Mikrei Kodesh of any other Yontif. Every other Moed, first the Torah describes the day as Mikrei Kodesh, and then the Torah says what mitzvah you should fulfill on this day, right? So Shivas Yomim, first you should designate 7 days Mikrei Kodesh, and then you eat matzah, or you sit in the sukkah. But when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, the Seder is reversed. First, the mitzvah is given, that this is a day of Zichron Trua, of Shofar. And then afterwards the Torah calls it Mikrei Kodesh. Why is the order reversed? A sequence that's unique to Rosh Hashanah and only to Rosh Hashanah? The answer is beautiful. Why did the Torah completely leave out the Ma'ora Hayom, the essence of the day? What does this day commemorate? The answer is that we know it Mipi Avos HaKadoshim according to the Ramban. And therefore, the Torah, the status of this day as Mikrei Kodesh is not established. The day is not converted, transformed to Mikrei Kodesh by virtue of the essence of the day. It becomes Mikrei Kodesh because of that middle stage. Right? You have three stages here. Stage number one is a Yom HaDin, and that we know from Mipi Avos HaKadoshim. Stage number three, it's called Mikrei Kodesh. What happens in the middle? What happens in the middle is the mitzvah of shofar, is the zikaron. It's the zikaron that makes the day into Mikrei Kodesh. Without the zikaron l'tova, if you only had pure din, it would not be Mikrei Kodesh. It would not be a day of festivity. It would not be a holiday, a happy day. The happiness is a result of the character of zikaron, the nature of zikaron. And that zikaron is l'tova. What brings about that zikaron and therefore sets up the day as Mikrei Kodesh? It's the shofar. And therefore the Torah starts with a different sequence. First the mitzvah hayom, namely zichron trua, and then and only then Mikra Kodesh. In all other moedim, it's Mikra Kodesh by virtue of what happened on that day. Now it has an inherent kedusha, and that engenders the mitzvah hayom, which are going to come afterwards. So you have Mikra Kodesh and then a mitzvah hayom. Here in the case of Rosh Hashanah, you have the shofar first and then the Mikra Kodesh. So we're in the bottom of Dalit, and he says the following: what makes the day of Rosh Hashanah Mikra Kodesh? It's the shofar. Why? Because it's the shofar that creates the zichron trua. So instead of Hashem judging us b'midas hadin, the shofar is able to have the following impact. Hashem leaves the kisei hadin and takes his seat on the kisei haracham. That's called zichron trua. The word zichron means litova. Then Hashem remembers us litova. That's what makes Rosh Hashanah into a yontif. Rosh Hashanah would not be a yont if it was pure din. It's the shofar and the impact of the shofar that endows the day with its kedusha sayom. Therefore, the order is reversed. First, the Torah is going to tell you about the mitzvah of shofar, and only afterwards can this day be endowed and elevated to the status of Mikra Kodesh. And that leads us to number Hey. So just to summarize what we saw in number Dalid, we saw that the Chachamim in the Mishnah use a very unique phrase to define and describe Rosh Hashanah. It's called Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah. We don't find Yom Tov Shel Sukkot, Yom Tov Shel Pesach, Yom Tov Shel Yom Kippur. The answer is the Chachamim were following the lead of the Torah. The Torah itself uses a strange language with regard to Rosh Hashanah. Only in Rosh Hashanah do we have the Mitzvah Hayom first and then the Mikrei Kodesh. And so the Chachamim use this very unique term of Yontif Shel Rosh Hashanah. Now we're up to number Hey, which is on the bottom of your page. Kuf, Pei.
I've got a question. Hey. Yeah. It may sound silly, but a shofar can change everything around. What makes a shofar so, I mean, the actual physical thing of a shofar so...
We explained in the last Pachad Yitzchak that the shofar is a neficha, is a neshima. And no shame is Vayipach Bi'apov, means that there's a bit of Hashem that's coming through the shofar. And that represents the creation of man. Just like God blew the neshama into man, the shofar blows a new creation into man. Man is recreated every Rosh Hashanah. Through what? Through the shofar. And that's going to be the Zichron L'tova. Hashem remembers us for good, because the shofar has this amazing impact to move Hashem, the Melech Malchei HaMelachim, from the Kisei HaDin over to the Kisei HaRachem. Now he presents the following idea. He says, and this you'll turn to page Kuf Pei Vav, that Rosh Hashanah really has a dual personality. On the one hand, essentially, it's a Yom HaDin. It's a day of strict judgment. And that's the Ma'ora HaYom. That's what defines Rosh Hashanah as a special day on the Hebrew calendar year. However, that would not engender the status of Yontif until you add another element. And the second element is Zikaron L'tova. Once we have the essence, the reality of Zikaron L'tova, now the Yom HaDin becomes the Yontif. And if that be the case, he says, when you ask me the question, Ma tiva shel zechir l'tova zu? What's the nature of zikar l'tova? And that's the only element that can convert and transform the day into a day of Mikrei Kodesh. All you have to do is read the language of our liturgies, of our prayers, and you'll understand how zikaron converts this day into a yomtiv. What do we say? We have matbea tefilas hazichronos. Zichronos, like other parts of the Musaf service, is comprised of 10 psukim, 10 verses. And then it concludes with a 10th verse. The 10th verse is incorporated into Bakasha, which starts with Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu. In the case of zichronos, the culmination of this entire Bakasha is Baruch Ata Hashem Zocher HaBris. Now we know that when it comes to a bracha, if you want to define the essence, the motif of the bracha, you look at the chasima, the finale. In the case of Zichronos, the chasima is Zocher HaBris. Zocher HaBris is telling us exactly why this day of Rosh Hashanah is Yontif. Why is it day of Yontif? Because Hashem remembers the bris. The bris is a covenant that commits both parties who entered into this agreement to fulfill that covenant. If HaKadosh Baruch wants to sit on the Kisei HaDin and judge us harshly, then we have a right to claim, but there's a bris. Hashem, you are committed to your side in the bris. And therefore, the Zocher HaBris really tells us about what the nature of this Yontif is. Again, we said the Yontif is Zichron L'tova. Why? Why does Hashem remember us for good? If he's sitting on the Kisei HaDin, he's going to remember us Hashem for the opposite. And the answer is because of the Bris. That's why Zichronos, which is the essence of Zikaron, culminates with Zocher HaBris. It's the fact that Hashem entered into a Bris. And talk about the fact that the shofar is a shofar shal ayil, which reminds us of the Akedas Yitzchak. And what we're going to say in the Zichronos is Hashem, remember us for the good, because remember that our forefather Yitzchak was willing to sacrifice himself on the Akedah. And it says, Afro shal Yitzchak tizkarayom. You know, remember even the very ashes of Yitzchak, because Chazal said he was burnt on his bear. And when the Malach says to Avram Avinu, Al Tishlach Yodcha Lanar, he bestows a bracha on Avram Avinu. And he says that because Yana Asher Sisa Dor Zevel Chasachtos Binchas Tumi Meni, therefore, Shara Ivecha Tiros, you will inherit the Shara of your Oivim. You know, there are enemies who are going to try to block us and attack us, persecute us, prevent us from having the land of Israel. Hashem promises Avram that your descendants have a divine protection and they will inherit the Shara Oivim. That's already a bris relationship. That's going to be the essence of Zichronos. And moreover, that's what defines Rosh Hashanah as a Yontif. Why is Rosh Hashanah a Yontif? Just because God is judging us? That's a Yontif? Of course not. It's because God moves from the Kisei HaDin to the Kisei HaRachem. what engenders that movement? It's the shofar. Because the shofar brings about what's called a zikaron l'tov. And what happens is Hashem remembers the bris. When he remembers the bris, he says, wait a minute, I have a commitment to these people. This nation will survive. Why? Because I entered into a bris with this nation. And now we get up to number Vav, which culminates this presentation. He says the following. We have a Kabbalah from the Chachamim that the Torah's bris here is incorporated into the shofar of Zichronos. What do we say in Zichronos? It says, Al Hamedinos Bo Ye Omer. What this means is that Hashem judges all the peoples of the earth, all the nations of the earth. And therefore, there's no mention here of bris. On the contrary, the nature of din and God's divine judgment on Rosh Hashanah is universal for all of mankind. Where do we see any mention of bris? The answer is because today as a Yom HaDin, it's not Mikra Kodesh, it's not a Yontif. What makes it into a Yontif is not the divine judgment of all the nations of the world. Oh no, it's only when we blow the shofar. And the shofar is the shofar of bris. The sounds of the shofar, the truest of the shofar, is the true of Krisa's bris. And at that point, we describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Zohar HaBris. Once it's Zohar HaBris, now the nature of Yontif, the nature of the first day of the seventh month, emerges as a Yontif. He says that's what Chazal means when they tell us, and now we go back to the first paragraph, on the Pasuk, Ashrei Ha'am Yodei Trua, it says, Yodim Lefatos is Baruch Trushei Dei Shofar Omei Mekisei Adim V'Yoshiv Akisei Arachamim. That is a result of the bris. The shofar represents the bris. And the bris is going to change the entire method of the way the king in his sovereign rulership rules over the people of Israel. He's no longer going to rule over them with the mid of din. He's going to rule over them with the mid of rachamim because of his bris. And that's represented by the kisei. What's the difference between changing a mid and changing the kisei? That was his original question. The answer is the kisei represents malchus. And now God's kingship changes. It's transformed through the shofar. And that's what engenders into Rosh Hashanah the status of Yom. Okay, that was a short moment.
It's about the Rebbe touched on that. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be the son of God.
Right.
He's going to be the defender.
Correct.
And you opened up a secret. I mean, to me it's a secret of how things work. And it's true. You judge people, and you judge other things, and you'll be judged accordingly.
Correct. That's what Chazal says, Havidan es chaver l'kaf schus. So the Baal Shem Tov asks, what do you mean Havidan? Havidan means play the role of a judge. Who appointed you as a judge? The answer is, you're not judging him, you're judging yourself. If you're judging your friend l'kaf schus, then Hashem will judge you l'kaf schus. So really, you're on the line here. And that's what we spoke about Ben Buta, if you remember that story, and the woman who broke two candles over his head. Okay, what I have for you now, my friends, is Maimer Yud Aleph. Okay, then, here's Maimer Yud Aleph. I don't think we'll be able to finish the Maimer tonight, but in Yirtzeh Hashem, we'll make a haschol. And once again, we begin with the mitzvah of shofar, and the pasuk says, Tiku Bachodesh shofar, Bakesel yom chagein. The pasuk in Tilda. Notice the beginning of the pasuk and the end of the pasuk. The beginning of the pasuk says that on the first of the seventh month we blow a shofar bikise kesel yom chagein. Kesel means kasui, mechuse. It's covered. There's something apparently secret about the shofar. What is the secret of the shofar? And the end of the pasuk tells us what the secret of the shofar is. Key. Why is it considered the kesa? What's concealed about it? What eludes us, so to speak? Ki chok li Yisrael hu mishpat l'elokei Yaakov. It's a chok, and yet it's a mishpat. These two concepts of chok and mishpat are mutually exclusive. Mishpat represents human logic, something that's rational, makes sense. That's called Mishpat. Chok is a statute that defies human rational understanding. Here in the case of Shofar, we have an admixture of both Chok and Mishpat, a very strange dialectical anomaly where the Shofar has both elements. It's Chok and Mishpat. And that explains why it's called Kesel Yom Chagim. He says we learn two things from this. Number one, that although all the mitzvahs of the Torah can be divided into two categories, every mitzvah belongs to either category number one, Chok, or category number two, Mishpat, the Chiddush of Shofar, it makes it unique, is that Shofar belongs to both categories. It's both a Chok and a Mishpat at the same time. And what else do we learn from this pasuk? That Chok and Mishpat are bound together in the mitzvah of Shofar. The call of Shofar is mechuseh. We don't understand it. Why? Why does it confuse us, so to speak? Because it has within it two antithetical concepts, and it combines them and unifies them. It's both Chok and Mishpat. And this mimer, which is Nabi Yud Aleph, is dedicated to try to understand how do we integrate into the Shofar both Chok and Mishpat at the same time. So that's Os number Aleph, and now we start Os number Beis. Os number Beis, if I can give a little bit of introduction, is going to relate to the following two questions. Number one, how do we serve the Ribbon Shel Olam? Do we serve the Ribbon Shel Olam be Ahava, out of love? Or do we serve him out of fear, out of yira? Apparently there are two different modes of service of Hashem. Question number two, why do we say Malchus on Rosh Hashanah? Malchus means we declare Hashem as our king. That's called Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim. We accept Hashem's divine sovereignty over us, and we're committed to follow him like an avid follows his master. What do we need that for? The whole year round, every day, twice a day, we fulfill the mitzvah of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. What's that called? Kriya Shema. If I recite Kriya Shema on a daily basis, I was Makabal Ol Malchus Shemayim. What's unique about Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is the day of Malchus. So what? Malchus means I declare Hashem as my king. That's what I do twice a day, every day of the year. What's unique about Rosh Hashanah?
Much more of a national scale, though, isn't it? Like a national coronation rather than an individual Kabbalah.
Okay, that's brilliant. That's a brilliant idea. Yeah, I like that.
You say it every day. Yeah, it becomes really routine.
Ah, I see. So we need like the drama of
you need to have it like yours. Right?
Okay, let's see his presentation. He begins with Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah notices that in the midst of Avas Hashem, we have two mitzvahs that play a very major role. And those are tefillin and mezuzah. For example, if you open up the Rambam, you will see that he incorporates tefillin and mezuzah together in the book of Ava. Ava means love for Hashem. What we write in the parashas of mezuzah is v'ahavtas Hashem alkech. The parashas of tefillin v'ahavtas Hashem alkech. Why do these two mitzvahs belong to the first parasha of Kriyat Shema? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, because the first parash of Kriyat Shema is the parash of Ahava. V'ahavtas Hashem alkech. What we derive from this, Rabbeinu Yonah, is the following conclusion. That Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim the whole year round, twice a day during Kriyat Shema, is the Kabbalah of Ahava. Now move on to Tzadi Aleph, and he says that not so when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is also a Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, but the nature of the day is not a day of Ahava, but rather a day of what? Of awe, of yira, of reverence, of shaking and trembling. You remember the Sadat Tokev, Kedush Sayom, Kihuya Oyom Venora, Malachi Yechafezu, Vechilu Rodi Yechazim. This is a day of Pachad. Anyone who doesn't feel the Pachad of Rosh Hashanah doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't know what Rosh Hashanah is all about. So Rav Hudna says that there's a fundamental difference between the Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim the whole year round and as opposed to the Kabbalah Olmach Shemayim of Rosh Hashanah. The whole year round is the Kabbalah Olmach Shemayim of Av. On Rosh Hashanah, it's a Kabbalah Olmach Shemayim of Yira. And therefore, the Avodas Hayom of Rosh Hashanah, the main mode of approaching God in Rosh Hashanah, is that of Yira of awe and reverence, which is the exact opposite of the Kabbalah Olmach Shemayim of the entire year of Kriyat Shema. That's pure Av. But when it comes to Malchios, right, when we declare Hashem on Rosh Hashanah as the Melech, that comes out of the experience and the sense of Yira. Now, how do we derive Malchios? Where's the source and the basis for reciting Malchios? So the Gemara establishes in Rosh Hashanah, it's based on a pasuk in Parashas Balosha. There it says, "Vahayu lachem lizikara." And the Gemara says, "Kol makom sheyesh zikronos yu malchios imahem." So the Torah says that this is a day of Zikaron, Vayulachem Lizikaron, and Zikaron requires Malchus. Now, in the very same pasuk, it says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Now, the word Elokeichem means, I am the God of justice. I am your sovereign ruler. When a person declares that Hashem is his Elokim, that's a statement of commitment of Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim. And therefore, Kol Mokom Sheyesh Zichronos, whenever we fulfill V'Hayolachem Zikaron, then it's got to be Ani Hashem Elokeichem, it's got to be with Malchios. And here the question is the following. If Ani Hashem Elokeichem is a declaration of Kabbalah's accepting Hashem's kingship, then what would be on a weekday, not on Rosh Hashanah, if I would say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu. If my mitzvah is Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim, and Ani Hashem Elokeichem is Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim, so if I say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, you end it. That's a ball game over. I don't have to add Hashem Echad. So says the Pachad Yitzchak, if you left out the words Hashem Echad, you're not Yotze, the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Why is it that on Rosh Hashanah, all you have to do is say, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, whereas in the Kabbalah, Olmach Hashemayim, the whole year round, you have to add the words Hashem Echad? And he says, leaving out the words Hashem Echad is not just a deficiency in reading the parasha, but moreover, it's a deficiency in Kabbalah, Olmach Hashemayim. Kabbalah's Olmach Shemayim in that first pasuk of Kriyat Shema has to culminate with Hashem Echad. So we see quite clearly that the Kabbalah's Olmach Shemayim of Rosh Hashanah, which is achieved through Hashem Elokeinu, is different than the Kabbalah's Olmach Shemayim the whole year round, which requires not just Hashem Elokeinu, but also Hashem Echad. And furthermore, he says, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Beis vacillates back and forth as to whether or not Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu should be integrated into the Malchus of Rosh Hashanah. Now, wait a minute. If Rosh Hashanah is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, and the first Pasuk of Kriyat Shema is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, what was Gemara thinking? Why shouldn't we integrate Shema Yisrael as the greatest expression of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim into the Malchus of Rosh Hashanah? The answer is, because they're two different things. They're two different entities. The Malchus of Rosh Hashanah L'chud and the Malchus of Kabbalah Sol Hashemayim of the whole year round of Kriyat Shema L'chud. And it chaps an afkamina l'gavi Hashem Echad that is absolutely critical and indispensable in Kriyat Shema. And another afkamina would be that the Pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem L'chud according to one opinion cannot be integrated into the Malchus. And he wants to suggest that even according to the Ma'adiyomer who says that we do, that's our meaning, we do add Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu into Malchus, that's only because of the first part of the Pasuk, Hashem Elokeinu, not because of Hashem Echad. And now we go on to Os Gimel. Os Gimel is based on a Gemara in Pesachim, on Daf Nun. The Gemara has a question, what does it mean, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? It means, as Zechariah Hanavi says it in Perek Yudalet, "Vayomahu Yia Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad." On that day, Right? Yoso Yom is Hashem will be one. What do you mean? The Gemara says, Vayidna Lav Echadu, and now God is not one? What do you mean on that day, Bayomahu? So the Gemara has a fascinating answer. The Gemara says that when something good happens to a person, very special, you say, Baruch Atov HaMeit. When the opposite happens, you say, Baruch Dayan HaEmes. So the Gemara says that's only in this world. In this world, we bifurcate, we split between Dayan HaEmes and Tov HaMeit. But Li Olam Abba, in the ultimate world, then Kulo HaTov HaMeit. There's no such thing as Baruch Dayan HaEmes. Baruch Dayan HaEmes means, you know what, God is the just and harsh punisher, and He's Emes. I accept it. I have to submit myself to the will of God. But at the same time, I'm telling you, I'm identifying it as Dayan HaEmes. You know, this is Din. When we get to the Olam HaEmes, the Olam of Olam Abba, all these distinctions fall by the wayside. Everything is Tov HaMeitiv. We don't see anything as Din. There's no perception of Din. Rachamim Tov is the overall and exclusive behavior of Hashem. What we see from this is that when we recite a bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, what are we saying about Melech HaOlam? The answer is we're saying, at least as far as this world is concerned, that God is the Melech in two ways. He's the Melech of Dayan HaEmes, and He's the Melech of Tov HaMeitiv, meaning sometimes He's in a, so to speak, He does good for us, like the way we see it. I mean, it's always good, but we see it as good, that's Tov HaMeitiv. And sometimes He brings about harsh punishment, and that's Dayan HaEmes. However, there's another type of Melech HaOlam, and that's the Melech HaOlam that belongs to the world to come, in which there is no distinction between Dayan HaEmes and Tov HaMeitiv. Everything is Tov HaMeitiv. We have an absolute clarity in the next world that everything is Tov HaMeitiv. And he says that in the next world it's called Achidus HaHemshech, meaning everything is one and is only Tov HaMeitiv. Whereas in this world, Hayom Hazeh means in this world, as we know it today, we have Kfelus HaHemshech. Kfelus HaHemshech, which means there's always going to be a duality, a split between Baruch Dayan HaEmes and Baruch HaTov VaHaMeitiv. And moreover, in our limited, finite intellectual capacity in this world, it's not even possible to reach a level in which we completely obliterate Baruch Dayan HaEmes. Even if we get to the level of a tzaddik, he says, who is makabel yisurim bi'ava, he accepts God's harsh judgment with love, even so, he's still reciting Baruch Dayan HaEmes, meaning he still very much acknowledges and is sensitive to the distinction between din and rachamim. He's just willing to accept the din of Hashem because of his profound and dedicated faith that everything that God does is for the good. But it's impossible for him to completely obliterate the distinction between Dayan HaEmes and Tov HaMeitiv. He'll say Baruch Dayan HaEmes with a great deal of kavana and serious devotion because he's makabel yisurim bi'ava. But in this world, man is finite. He's not capable Hayom Hazeh, to understand that everything is HaTov HaMeitiv. No. What he sees is called Dayan. It's called Midas HaDin. He understands that he has faith that Hashem, everything that Hashem does is for our benefit, that Din is really for Tov. But he still makes the bracha Baruch HaDayan HaEmes. However, there's a different kind of Malchus Shamayim where we understand that the Malchus Shamayim is by Hayom Ahu, right? We go back to the pasuk in Zechariah who says, "V'hayom Hayom Ahu, Yi Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad." That means there'll be that day in which it's Achdus HaHemshech. It's all Tov HaMeitiv. And he says, therefore, if we could be makabel the Malchus Shamayim on ourselves of Hayom Ahu, then what we're saying is that Hashem's Hamlocha, God's kingship, is purely kulo tova meitiv. There's nothing else. There's no other element here of Dayan HaEmes. On the other hand, if we accept on ourselves Hashem as the Melech of Hayom Hazeh, then what we have is something different. We have accepting Hashem's tova meitiv, and at the same time accepting upon ourselves Hashem's Hamlocha as the King of Baruch Dayan HaEmes. And really, when we speak about Hayom HaHu, that ultimate perception in which everything is Tov HaMeitiv, that can't apply in this world. Because we live in a world of Lo Yirani HaAdam V'Chai. Man cannot possibly see with a divine infinite perspective in which everything is HaTov HaMeitiv. That we don't have. And therefore, in this world, Hayom HaHu, the Hamlocha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is purely a division, a split between Atova Meitiv and Midas Hadin and Baruch Dayan HaEmes. By the way, there's a footnote here in which he says that Lo Yirani Adam V'Chai comes from Shmos Lamed Gimel, the Parsha of Moshe Rabbeinu. You remember that Moshe Rabbeinu asks Hashem to reveal himself, his essence. Hareini nos fodecha. And Hashem answers, Lo Yirani Adam V'Chai. What really Moshe wanted to know is to see the ultimate Hatov HaMeitiv in everything, even in the harsh judgment. And Hashem says in Bayom HaZeh, that's impossible. Man is Lo Yirani Adam V'Chai. Man cannot have that divine perspective until he gets to the Ayom HaHu.
Yet people that are certainly of a higher level that are quite close to it.
They're close to it, right. They're close to it, but even they have
but
to
the
say...
Average person is very good.
Even they have to say it's Dayan HaEmes, but it's Baruch. You know, even they have to recognize the greatness of Dayan HaEmes, but they define and they label it as Dayan. You know, they recognize that it's Din. They're just saying that the Din is for the ultimate goal of our benefit. But in the next world, it's a whole different, fundamentally different concept. It's not going to be God is a Dayan. There is no God as a Dayan. Everything is HaTov HaMeitiv. The whole distinction between Dayan and Din and Tov HaMeitiv was completely obliterated from the perspective of Hayom HaHu at the end of time. He says that we get up every morning and every evening, and we makabel Ol Malchus Shamayim, and we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad is the Hayom HaHu perception, right? That on Yom right, the pasuk again in Zechariah Novi says, and in every day we're saying we makabel on ourselves the Melech of Hashem Echad, the same Hashem Echad which appears in the pasuk in Zechariah. In the context of Bayom HaHu. And that kind of perception of God is based on a faith of Bayom HaHu. We have an absolute faith, a pure and sanctified faith, that Hashem will, Bayom HaHu, become the Melech of HaTov HaMeitiv. And that's Hashem Echad. It means we close our eyes when we say Kriyat Shema. Closing our eyes is symbolic of leaving this world. We have to leave this world in order to declare Hashem Echad. And that's why he says that when a person dies, when he leaves this world, then he says Kriyat Shema, because at that moment he's coming close to Hayom HaHu, if you follow what I mean. He's entering into the world to come. And at that point, he has a perception of Hayom HaHu, which is Hashem Echad, that God is one and there's no split between Din and Rachamim. If that be the case, in Dalit he says, now we understand the difference between Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim of Kriyat Shema on a daily basis and Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim of Amiris Malchios. Because the Hamloch of Malchios is Ani Hashem Elokeichem, which refers to God as the judge, God as the Din. And therefore there's Havaya and Elokus. You know, it's Ani Hashem is Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is Midas HaRachamim. And Elokim is Midas HaDin. We put them two together, and we accept that Hashem is both the Midah of Yud Kei Vav Kei and the Midah of Elokus of Din. And we integrate them into one Hamloch of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but only from the perspective of Hayom HaZeh. That's going to be the element of fear. You know, the fear of Rosh Hashanah is because it's still Hayom HaZeh, in which we see both Hashem, and that's good, but we'll see Elokim, and that's not so good. That's God's harsh judgment. That's the Midas HaDin. So we're overwhelmed with Pachad because of the Midas HaDin. In contrast, though, Kabbal Salmal Chashmayim of Kriyat Shema has no element of din in it, because it's the declaration of Hashem Echad. That's the essence of Kabbal Salmal Chashmayim. And Hashem Echad means the tfisa, the perception of Bayom Ahu, of the end of days. And that's the perception of absolute integration of din and rachmim, where we obliterate any distinction whatsoever, and therefore everything is hatova meitiv. Rashi, in his commentary on the Torah, on the words Hashem Echad, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Rashi says that Hashem Elokeinu refers to now, Bayom Hazeh, but Hashem Echad refers to the future of Hayom Ahu. What does Rashi mean? He means exactly that. When we're Mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we accept upon ourselves his Mamlucha, what we're saying is that we start with Bayom Ahu, Bayom HaZeh, which is Hashem Elokeinu, the Midas HaDin, and then we climb higher through the experience of Ava to Hashem Echad, to Bayom Ahu. And that's why we close our eyes, because now we're really leaving this world, entering into a world with a whole different infinite perspective, in which we see the divine being as being purely tov umetiv. That's all there is. And he says at the bottom of page Tzadi Beis, and maybe we'll wrap this up soon, he says, there's machlokas tanoim, as we mentioned before, Rosh Hashanah Lamed Beis, as to whether or not you can add the Pasuk Shema Yisrael to the Malchus of Rosh Hashanah. And what was the Svara to say that you don't? You cannot fulfill your obligation of Malchus through Shema Yisrael. The answer is because Shema Yisrael culminates with the Hashem Echad, that's the apex of it, and that doesn't belong to Malchus on Rosh Hashanah. He says on the top of Tzadi Beis that even according to Man Yom, who says you can fulfill your obligation of Malchus with the Pasuk Shema Yisrael, that's not because of Hashem Echad. That Hashem Echad belongs to Hayom Ahu, correct? Hayom Ahu. And that's not Shaykh to Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is purely Hayom HaZeh. And therefore you have to integrate, well, when you Yotzei the mitzvah of Malchus on Rosh Hashanah with Shema Yisrael, you have to emphasize Hashem Elokeinu. Because the Hashem Echad really doesn't reflect the nature of Malchus and Kabbal Salmal Chashmayim of Rosh Hashanah. And in the next Os Hey, he's going to bring this back to the different modes of serving Hashem and being a Kabbal Salmal Chashmayim of Ava and Yira. In other words, when we're dealing with the Amunah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that in the future he will definitely have the Hamloch of Achdus Hayom Hahu of Tova Meitiv, then we sense Ava. Ava means we love Hashem, we're lovesick with Hashem, because everything is a Tova Meitiv. That's the perception of Hayom Hahu, and that's why it Kriyat Shema is identified with Ava. But on Rosh Hashanah, which is a day of Yira, that's purely Hayom HaZeh. This is not a perception of Kabbalah Salmal Chashmayim of the Malchus Hashem of Hatov HaMeitiv exclusive. No. Now we have on this Malchus Hashem Elokeinu. We have the fact that Hashem is Din, He's strict judgment, and Hashem Echad. And if this be the case, we begin to understand and appreciate the role of Shofar, as we said at the very beginning in Os Aleph, that the shofar is mechusa, it's covered. We really haven't revealed the nature of the shofar. Why? Ki chokli sol mishpat al keyakov. It's both chok and mishpat at the same time. The paradoxical dialectic of Rosh Hashanah is that it integrates both chok and mishpat. Mishpat represents ava, chok represents yira, and Rosh Hashanah through the shofar is going to integrate both. Is tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kesel yom chagenu ki chok li Yisrael hu mishpat lel keyah. Any questions?
When we talk about the time where this Hashem Echad refers to, I always get confused about where in these sort of things where we're talking about Olam Haba or whether we're talking about Yom.
Well, the Ramban always says that the Achris Hayom has many dimensions of Olam Haba to it. Olam Haba is going to be, we're going to have Tchiyas HaMesim, and then we're going to enter in, according to Ramban, even the goof enters into Olam Haba. That's the eternal life. But already, at the moment of Mashiach, and the Achris HaYomim, that, you know, Mashiach is the harbinger of this Tfisa of Bayomahu. And the greatness of that Tfisa is that it's going to have an impact on humanity as a whole. All of mankind will acknowledge and declare God's oneness.
It's basically talking about Yom HaMashiach, but that has aspects of it.
Correct. Okay then, Rabosai, we'll stop here. I think there'll be Meir shortly, and I think again we covered one Meimer and another Meimer. We didn't finish the second Meimer, but
did you learn with Rafik?
No, I used to go to some of his Mamorim, but frankly I had a lot of trouble understanding them. First of all, my Yiddish wasn't up to par.
I just wrote in Yiddish.
Yeah, it was all in Yiddish. And even though I understood most of the Yiddish, but there were pieces that I missed. Also, you had to get a very good seat, and I was only a guest there. I wasn't from the regulars. So it was hard for me. I would say I went about to 5 or 6 Mamorim. I had a lot of challenging with it. But only recently I was able to dedicate more time to the study of the Sfarim. And we studied a little bit of Pachad Yisuch for Chanukah and then for Purim, and we did on Shabbos and we did some Sukkah. And now, touching on Rosh Hashanah, I feel it's really giving me a whole different, a radically different perception of what Rosh Hashanah is all about, what the Shofar is all about. So that's
it. It's very, looking at the Pesukim on Rosh Hashanah, it's very difficult to know how you understand it without the help of Chazal and later generations. What Rosh Hashanah is all about. It's
correct. And that's what the Ramban says, that we have some sort of Kabbalah, Mipi Ovos HaKadoshim, about what Rosh Hashanah is. What's the Yiru Hayom? The Torah says nothing about the Yiru Hayom. And the Nevi'im tell us it's Yom HaDin. But it's interesting that that aspect of Yom HaDin is not what engenders Mikroi Kodesh.
And the Kohen also has Jets on Rosh Hashanah.
Kohenim?
Sure. No, Kohen.
Oh, Kohen? Yeah, sure. Kol Bnei Marom, over from the fall of Bnei Marom. Kivnei Maron is the expression used by Chazal.
The whole world gets discussed.
Right. All the nations of the world, and the cities of the world, all the communities. And whether or not we'll have a year coming up of Yitzchak Shem of Shaket Vishalva, or Chas Shom the opposite of anguish and sorrows, that's all determined on the Yom HaDin of Rosh Hashanah. That's why it's the day of absolute pacha. The question is whether or not the Malachi HaShoyis upstairs, they too are judged on Rosh Hashanah. Now you'll ask me, but the Malachim don't have Bechira Chavshis. But nevertheless, within the context of fulfilling Hashem's will as the messengers of God, there is a certain very minuscule element of deviation. And on that they're going to be judged. And that's why it says in the Sana Tokif, which is the apex of Pachar on Rosh Hashanah, U'malachim Yechavezer. The Yom Ruhinei, even the Malachim are declaring today is the day of judgment. So judgment is something that ripples through the entire
world. In a lot of people, the real Tahikim of Hashem is to cry on Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah. He has a whole mimer. I don't know if we did it together, but I certainly look at it that Bechiyah is absolutely appropriate on Rosh Hashanah. L'maisa, it's a day of Chedva, but inherent in the day, it's really a day of Bechiyah. Because of the pacha, the year of judgment of the Yom.
I mean, people live so